And we are live, Long-Winded Spiel, episode 18. Finally, we're legal, gentlemen. We're so legal, dude. Finally hit that 1-8. So here we are. It's a packed house today, everyone. Really excited. This is probably going to end up being one of my all-time favorite podcasts just because of the amount of people that I love or that are here with me to actually record this episode. So we're going to keep tradition alive. We're going to go around the circle and have everybody introduce themselves. Once again, Derek Lee Ramsey here.
Joshua Davis.
It's going to be Mike G here.
Patrick Reed here.
Trevor Barnes live.
William Bruce Blevins, bitches.
Matt Roddick, barely voice.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, so Roadhouse definitely lost his voice. Crystal Johnson's in the room right now, but we'll eventually get her out of her shell so she can start dropping some wisdom and knowledge onto us.
We get a quick cheers to anybody quick that's cheers. Got a beverage in the room.
Really quick, episode 18, gentlemen. I'm really excited about cheers. This. And not only
back
is
in the
episode,
day, we were legal to drink.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
This is a European podcast.
And before we drink that, gentlemen, I'd like to make another quick little cheers for Patrick Reed. It's his birthday today.
Hey!
It's his birthday. Cheers, buddy.
Who's
thank
also
you so
18?
Much. Who's also
18?
He's legal now.
Really excited to have him on his birthday.
I'm gonna
which,
make you come tonight, Pat.
No more cheese pizza for us.
No more. Hell yeah. So, guys, really excited. Well, I just want to say, Pat, you could have done a fucking 100 other things on your birthday, but you decided to come over and kick it with us.
Yeah, I found you guys, found the podcast. I love it.
Dude, fucking amen. And then, again, the new setup's a lot better now. Now, you know, we're, like, smoking in the room, having some drinks. There's more area to sit. We have control over all the noise outside. You know, not some random person's going to walk in and the dog's going to go ape shit. And I know I mentioned that in the last podcast, and I'm mentioning it again because I fucking really cared about that. I was like, I hated having the Achilles just bark at random people when they fucking walk by. But yeah, so got that under wraps.
Boom.
We've got some titties in the room.
That's right, we do. So just to get the podcast started, we're going to talk a little bit about we're going to go off the cuff a little bit towards the end. Right now, I know we were going to start with the UFC fight card coming up this
weekend.
We're
thinking about it.
We're still going to talk about it. I mean, we have an hour.
We said we were going to freestyle, though, so.
We did say that. Right now, I think we should definitely dive into the Oscar thing just because you just watched.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just watched it, too,
I'm
in shock about it.
One of the guys that I care about so dearly is in the house, Joshua Davis. Really happy you're here, buddy. It's a long time coming. So we're going to fucking talk about the Oscars first just to kind of get that part out of the way because it's, like, still fresh in my mind, too. I mean, it just happened, what, Sunday, right?
Two days ago?
Yeah, just a couple days.
Yeah, so really quick, how do you feel about the best leading actress? Do you guys think that was warranted, Emma Stone winning it, as opposed to all the other wonderful actresses that were involved? It was a fucking stiff competition, bro.
It's crazy. There were a lot of, I mean, this year might not have been my favorite year in films, actually, but whenever it came down to, like, who was going to win these awards, I mean, yeah, just like what you said, this was stiff. Like, there were a lot of really good people. I can't remember off the top of my head. I kind of should have brought this up while we were warming up here. But I don't have the list of who was in that category with her. But I remember, I mean...
I can pull it up right now, dude. I'm like
I'm
pulling this shit up, bro.
Yeah, hang on.
Right, motherfucker,
what's
now.
The guy's name for the Joe Rogan podcast?
Jamie.
We got our own Jamie.
Yeah,
that's right. Looking it up on my Android.
Can you imagine when we get to the point where we can actually afford our own Jamie? That'd be pretty cool.
I mean,
Jamie's expensive. I can hear.
Jamie's got
his own.
He's fucking good.
Jamie's.
Pull that shit up, Joe Bly.
I'm gonna pull this shit up so fucking Joe hard right now.
Oh, fuck. This is gonna be a good one.
So I take the stance on award shows like kind of Joe Rogan does where I think it's fucking retarded as fuck. So... I'm probably going to be out of this conversation.
He's all award shows, football, mainstream, anything.
Yeah.
There was a... I was talking to my girlfriend recently about... there's a guy named George C. Scott. This really kind of came up at the same time as Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit later, actually. Yeah, like 50s, 60s, and stuff like that was like... killing the game, has this amazing gravitas. He played Patton in the movie Patton, which won, I think, the Academy Award for Best Picture in 1970. And he actually, for that role, I believe, won Best Actor. And kind of, this dude is like a dude after your own heart, kind of turned down the award and straight up, like, there have been people that have, like, Marlon Brando won the Academy Award and had a Native American girl walk up and say, like, until Native Americans are treated better in this country, Marlon Brando won't accept this award.
Brando's fuck a monster, yeah, by the way.
George C. Scott took it even fuck a step yeah, further dude. And said, I, like, this is all bullshit. This is it. He was quoted as saying, this whole thing's a meat parade. Like, you guys are all just here to suck each other's dicks. You guys are all... you know, like, and that's exactly, like, you know... That,
it's kind of what it is. Exactly. It's jerking, yeah. Jerking each other off.
Just a whole bunch of beautiful people talking about how beautiful and awesome they are. Yeah,
and that's
for sure.
The thing is, it, just like anything, movies, just like music, are all, it's all subjective.
Sure.
This person may like this more than that person. Sure. And y'all vote on and decide who was the best. Like, that doesn't really matter because... Yeah. There's another person who liked that other movie way better. Like, the award shows is just completely, like, it doesn't make sense to me.
The idea that we're talking, like, the idea that at some point in this podcast we're going to talk about a UFC thing, and I know that we all are fans of that thing, is, it's the yin and yang of everything is, like,
The UFC
is, like, two people go into a ring and they fight, and one of them wins the fight.
Yeah, but it's not clear, subjective. It's clear cut.
That's what I'm saying. So then the yang is legitimately, like, you know, you have a very clear, like, there is a winner, there is a loser. Mm-hmm. And then in the Oscars, it's a whole bunch of people that, all of them get paid millions of dollars because they're very good at what they do. Like, like, if you've ever, I mean, as an actor, like, I've watched a lot of really bad comedians, I've watched a lot of really bad actors, and it's like, it's painful to watch. And then whenever you watch, you know, inarguably most, like, 98% of the people that were, you know, like, in those, like, categories last night, all of the work that they're doing is so respectable that it's like, well, at least you made something that is for you, like, you put your heart and soul into that. Yeah. So it's like, there's very little that you can say against it. Mm-hmm. I can totally understand what you're saying, where an award show where they're all just kind of patting each other on the back can kind of,
like,
become...
it would make more sense to me for them to be like, instead of we're all voting on this, how about whoever's movie did the best in, you know, in sales, period.
See, but then you have, then Avatar is the best movie of all time.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying per season.
That was
per year, pretty cool.
Yeah.
In each movie, you could be like, okay, this was the woman actress that happened to be in one of the best. You know what I mean? Like, and you look at it that way. Like, in strong female roles, like where she's like the main character, you could say, like, out of these type of movies, this one did the best. She takes the award. That's at least not subjective in the way, like.
And this is specific in non-Meryl Streep years, because if Meryl Streep's in anything, she fucking wins. Yeah. So I'm just. Like, it's subjective to the point unless Meryl Streep's in the competition.
That's true.
Well, I mean, you know, again, it's like the year that Avatar comes out, then Avatar wins all 14 best pictures. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, the year that, like, Rogue One did much better than Moonlight won best picture.
So you're saying we should make them fucking fight.
Get the director to come out.
Best director.
Best actor.
Me, I don't know if there's enough... It kind of goes to the contrary. Like, I know everybody's working really hard on these films and everything, but for me, like, as somebody that's been to the movies, we've all been to the movies for like decades now, right? Like,
I love going to the movies.
I love to go too, but it's to what I'm going to spend my money on. There's not like five or six. I don't know. Like, there's not, like, to me, that many epic films anymore. Like, there are, but there aren't. Like, I don't get wowed as much as I used to.
Technology wowed, not like. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, this guy just blew my mind.
Or, like, good writing. I mean, there's I don't know. Like, there's only been...
did not see John Wick?
Yeah, that was the best shit.
John Wick 1 or 2, but, like...
Damn it, Roadhouse, it's a good point.
Even John Wick 2 was just, like, he was a bunch of him, like, flipping over and killing people the exact same way 27 times over.
Yeah, but when you're good at a left hook, you throw the left hook.
I'm with it, but, I mean, I'm just saying, like, and some of the stuff was just, like, you could see the choreographing done, like...
That's a movie I like, so I'm trying to, like, argue it.
Yeah. It's
what a dickhead.
It was great for what it was. I don't get me wrong. Fucking John Wick's a badass, and I recommend everybody see it, but I mean,
you whoop Tim Kennedy's ass.
I don't know.
For sure. Tim Kennedy's stock has gone down so low.
Wait, Tim Kennedy wasn't in John Wick.
No.
His stock in his house went down so bad.
Before Tim Kennedy fought his last time, I was like, he'll whoop anybody in the world.
Yeah. Tim Kennedy for
he's
president.
Fucking this and
Billy,
that.
Billy was practically dick riding Tim Kennedy.
Like, hey, man, it's hard not to be like, I'm more liberal minded than Billy and Tim. But like, I follow Tim Kennedy on Instagram and stuff. I'm just like, God damn, that's my fucking boyfriend. That dude is so fucking, that is the dude. Like, he just lives a fucking savage life. He does. There's
fuck
not,
yeah, he does.
Dude, that's a badass man.
But all I was saying was, is now for sure I can whoop his ass.
Yeah. You actually got beat by that dude. Dude couldn't make weight. Yeah, couldn't get that guy couldn't make weight, so they bumped him up, and they were like, dude, "All right, we're gonna have Tim Kennedy beat the shit out of you
as
and
a punishment." Like, yeah.
Holy shit, that's not what happened at all.
I actually found that you
in the
can't,
first round it kind of did, but
you can't go to Billy for stock advice because Billy, every time I'm making a bean burrito, he offers me a blowjob for a bean burrito. And he's lowered the value of blowjobs so much that
I inflated it.
That Ron Paul would hit him up and be like, dude, you've inflated the value of blowjobs more than the Federal Reserve
you
has
got the
US
Federal
dollar.
Reserve blowjobs right now.
And it's not even worth anything anymore. He just gives them out like fucking hotcakes.
Oh, man.
That's hysterical, dude.
Fictional blowjob.
Yeah, right.
I mean, non-fiction.
I don't think that's what fictional means.
Yeah.
Fictional means it's not.
He didn't mean fictional. He meant frictional.
Oh god.
Real quick, I want to get everybody's take on something because I saw that there was this big old controversy with the Oscars, right? Yeah. That's all I kept seeing was. Controversy this, controversy that.
Yeah, there was.
And I was like, I haven't heard anything about the Oscars for a few years running now.
Yeah.
They did it on purpose.
Do you think that they did that shit on purpose? Conspiracy moment. Do you think that they did that shit on purpose in order to either incite ratings on either one, the Oscars, or two, to get people to watch those two movies?
Nah.
I don't know. I truly, like, if or, so
I think
yeah.
it was a
at the very beginning, at the very beginning of this podcast, Derek brought up Emma Stone won for Best Actress, which is the second to last. That's the second to last award that they give out. Traditionally, the Best Actor comes out, gives the award for Best Actress, vice versa, and that's for supporting as well. So last year in Revenant, Leo DiCaprio gives a really kind of touching speech on what he believed, like climate control and stuff like that. And then he comes out this year, presents the award to Emma Stone. She beat out some really interesting people. There's a girl named Isabelle Huppert. She is French. She was nominated for a movie called Elle, which is like a rape victim story. She's like, I haven't seen the movie.
Talking about a fucking depressing film to watch.
Yeah, then she like, but like then it's like, I don't know if she gets her revenge. I haven't seen it, so I can't really speak to it. Ruth Negga, who's in a movie called Loving, about in like the 50s, an interracial couple. Natalie Portman was nominated for Jackie, where she plays Jack Kennedy.
I love her.
I have to watch that movie. So
awesome. I don't know if
she's pretty.
In this movie, that movie Jackie is extremely slow. It is a slow burn throughout. It's beautiful. It's like a lot. It's like a feast for your eyes. But the movie, she is very cold in it. And I don't know much about Jackie Kennedy as a person, but I don't know. Like, she seemed to have a very specific dialect, which I liked a lot. But I don't know. The movie didn't resonate to me as like, oh, the best movie of all time or anything. But Natalie Portman was unquestionably good at doing what she was doing. Emma Stone won for La La Land,
which I did not see either.
It's a musical, pretty well done. Quite fun to watch.
I heard nothing but good things about that.
I like a good musical.
If you take it for what it's worth,
I heard visually.
I'm comfortable with my sexuality to admit that. I'm definitely down for a good musical every now and again.
Sweeney Todd was the shit. I'm just going to say it.
That was the shit.
Meryl Streep was nominated for, she played like a bad opera singer in a movie called Florence Foster Jenkins, which was.
So Meryl Streep, she actually was
nominated for not knowing what fucking art is? I was surprised.
So Emma Stone beat all of them, and then what happened is that the next award that goes out is the Best Picture.
That's right.
And to kind of like commemorate this Best Picture thing, they have I think it's like the 40th or 30th year anniversary of the movie Bonnie and Clyde, which won all the fucking Oscars. And so Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, they come out and Warren Beatty, they're both old as dirt, old white people, and they, Warren Beatty opens up the envelope and takes
like about a Dick Tracy,
really, really long pause and kind of like has a smirk on his face because we're all thinking like, one, is Warren Beatty trying to like Is he playing like a gag on us? Like, because he has all the power in the room, right? Yeah, everyone's like
all eyes on him.
Yeah.
And then he kind of shows it to Faye, and then Faye says, La La Land.
Right.
And so then the whole fanfare happens. They cue up the music. Oh my God, can you believe it? Damien Chazelle directed La La Land. He's like 28 years old. Can you believe this? Blah, blah, blah. Ryan Gosling's pointing at people like, hey, how you doing? I'm Ryan Gosling. It's great. You know, so Emma Stone comes back. She's got an Oscar already for winning the Best Actress for this movie. Mm-hmm. She's getting ready to come back. And then you see in the background, like these pages, like these background people like running back and forth with envelopes because they realize that what happens is they keep two versions of every envelope, one on either side of the stage, and the guy that was in charge of giving Warren Beatty that envelope handed him the previous award, and that was Emma Stone's, and so he was kind of dumbfounded. He's like, this is not right. And then whenever he showed it to Faye says is Emma Stone, La La Land. So she looks at the only word that is the one of the words that she should be saying, and it says La La Land.
In front of a million people.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and then the saddest thing is that Moonlight was not my favorite movie of the year, but it won Best Picture, and those guys didn't really get a chance to say, what they wanted to say about their movie. You know what I mean? Because all the producers and stuff of La La Land go up and start saying like very sweet things. And
they got their speech
and
in.
The one guy actually was very sweet. The producer of La La Land, like straight up, like
the
someone told
guy,
him,
right?
Yeah, someone told him like, hey, like Moonlight actually won. And this dude, all the class in the world was like, oh, I'm really sorry, guy. Like without blinking an eye, he's like, I'm really sorry, guys. We fucking lost. Moonlight won. And like Moonlight, the people of Moonlight laugh just like they're like, haha, like way to go, like kind of bad in taste.
And he's like,
no, for real, like look at this envelope, like you guys actually won. And so then the people from Moonlight come up, but they didn't really get a chance to say anything.
Dang, that sucks.
All that's left is Jimmy Kimmel to make a Steve Harvey joke.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I personally blame Steve Harvey for this.
So it's crazy.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's super strange how those things can happen so closely together, right? That was just a year ago.
It's the fucking Oscars, dude. Like you would think if anyone had their shit together, it'd be that.
Yeah.
Like you would think that, you know, like if there's one particular event where like shit will not go wrong, it's during the Oscars. But I'm sure it's happened before.
Dude, look at the Tyrone Woodley Stephen Wonder Boy title fight and the fucked up decision at the end where they gave it to Woodley.
That's true.
And then they go back and they just say that it's a draw.
Those motherfuckers took money from me.
That's insane how those things connect like that.
Yeah, a majority draw. Like what?
Yeah.
Dude, and so much so that like Joe Rogan had to explain it to Woodley. Woodley was like straight up
like I'm not giving my belt away. I won, right?
Freaking heated, but like for like rightfully so.
Yeah. That's actually a really good segue. So like how do you guys see the rematch going down?
Woodley's gonna whoop his ass again.
Well, no, we got Billy's input.
What do you really think?
I think Wonderboy's gonna win. I think Woodley's talking a bunch of stuff like he's gonna finish him for sure this time. And I think Wonderboy's gonna figure out, hey, I can't do certain things against this guy, you know, and work it from the outside and be able to tire him out and beat him.
Okay. That's
he,
fair.
He is watching Wonderboy strike is like watching an artist paint. That dude, it's legitimate. Like, oh my God. He's figured out every muscle to move for every punch.
I think that Wonderboy's skill set was just as great before he fought Woodley, and Woodley was able to close the distance and land his power shots. He's athletic enough to I think close the range on somebody with Wonderboy's frame. And Wonderboy's power compared to Woodley's is just such that if Woodley lands the necessary shot in the right spot, I think it could be an early night in general.
For Wonderboy.
He definitely showed an ability to be caught in that fight, and he showed an ability to be susceptible to Woodley's power in that fight.
Is that the one?
I mean, hopefully he learns, and hopefully Woodley, because I'm a Wonderboy fan, so hopefully he learns, and Woodley will go in overconfident and overzealous and whatnot, and it's a different outcome. But to me, Wonderboy was at a pinnacle of his striking game when he fought Woodley, and we saw a Wonderboy that was going for the title. We got the best Wonderboy we were gonna get, and I'm not saying that he's not going to adapt by any means, but. I mean, unless you can. I mean, it's kind of hard to recreate.
He came out and did pretty much exactly what he wanted to do.
100%.
Except for the parts where he got taken down.
Taken down and he got...
Oh, and he got slobber knocked a couple times.
Where it was almost
that
over.
That first round really kind of set the tempo.
Yeah, but if it would have went six or seven rounds, Wonderboy would have won for sure because they would have ended up beating him. No matter what. In the end of fourth round, he was whooping fucking...
He's going to have to face another fresh Woodley in the first round and in the second round. Like, it's going to have to happen again. Yeah. He's going to have to weather some shots. And can his chin weather those shots?
I'm going
to
reference Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell. And Chuck Liddell had a really hard time with Randy Couture the first fight. But the person that I think got bested, Stephen Wonderboy, I think he did get bested. He took a lot of damage. He got fucking rocked. He ended up putting a clinic in the end, which got him the tie. But usually when you go through some high amount of stress and you get rocked or something like that, you realize that you can't put your head out like that, and you're going to have to adjust to your opponent's style. And I think that Wonderboy is such a diverse person that that he will have the ability to adjust to Tyrone Woodley style. Tyrone Woodley... not necessarily going to know what Wonder Boy is going to bring, dude. He could not put his face out there and get blasted like that, too. Because, like, Wonder Boy was putting his hands down and being a little... I don't know. He's used to not getting touched in the face, and he got a little cocky, and he got cracked. So, I believe he's smart enough to adjust. So, like, I'm going to have to go Wonder Boy on this fight, and that I think he is smart enough to adjust to... what Tyrone Woodley's going to bring.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was just going to say in 3 seconds, quick follow-up, I think that Wonder Boy will make more adjustments in this fight than Woodley will make. Fair. I will agree to that, 110%.
Agree.
But you are calling a Woodley win.
Oh, so narrowly, but that's it. That's it, I'm done. I'm sorry.
No, the only thing I was going to say is... going into that first fight, I really think one reason why Woodley has such a fucking great first 3 rounds he was doing really well was because a Wonder Boy just watched his brother-in-law get his ass beat, you know, against Yoel Romero and Chris Weidman. I really think that fight really kind of affected him in a negative way, to where he was like, dude, my brother-in-law just got destroyed by this man, and I have to go out and fucking fight this guy for the title. Like, I just kind of think that took him out of the game for a second, because it looked like he started really slow. I mean, when he wasn't the same Wonder Boy that went against Johnny Hendricks.
Is he really brother-in-law?
Yeah. Weidman's married to his sister, I believe, to Wonder Boy's sister.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, shit.
You guys didn't know that?
No.
I didn't know that. Wonder Boy's married to, like, a Machado... like something like Machado's
So Wonderboy's been training with Chris Weidman for a few years, and then 3-4 years ago his sister came down during one of the camps. Weidman and the sister got along right away, and then 3 years down the road, now they're married, they have a kid together and all that shit. So like, he's actually that's his brother-in-law, so like, it's a family thing. So like, your brother-in-law, aka your training partner, aka a guy that is in the same profession that you're in, so you kind of understand what it's like. You just watch this guy get destroyed by fucking Blanca from Street Fighter. You know what I mean? Like, that's gonna fuck with you a little bit. But with way more steroids and way more savage too. Like, it's gonna fuck with you a little bit.
More electricity.
Yeah, for all you fighters are gonna bring your sister to the gym, don't, because she's gonna get the alpha penis, dude. That big alpha penis. Don't do it.
So anyways, the only thing I'm saying is, like, I think this time around Wonder Boy is gonna win, and I think a big part of that is gonna be because he's gonna have that mental edge again, because he wasn't the same guy that went out there that fought Johnny Hendricks. I mean, that Stephen Wonderboy Thompson was a fucking world beater, dude. Like, he went out there and just completely stopped the wrestling game, completely stopped the overhand left, which is a very similar punch as Woodley's overhand right. And then on top of that, he was just, his kicks were flowing. He wasn't really worried about the takedown or a counter strike for that matter. And then he just picked him apart. And then once he caught him on the chin, he just knew exactly how to follow up. So I think we're going to see that Wonder Boy in this next fight. I really do. Because he's taking his best shots. He almost got choked the fuck out with a guillotine in the fourth round. And I really thought his head was going to pop, dude. Like, it looked like one... Dude, T-Wood is... Or Tyrone Woodley is a fucking strong man. It doesn't. He's, you can just look
best,
at him.
Is he the most ripped dude in the? I mean, him and Yoel might like be the one two for like.
Matt Hughes was like just as ripped, if not.
Oh no! I mean, I'm a huge Matt Hughes fan.
I think Woodley's more defined, though. I think Woodley's more defined.
I mean, Matt Hughes.
I'm just talking about right now. I was just talking about in the
in this division right now. Who else is 170? Is it Hector Lumb? No, he's heavier. 180. Hector Lumbar.
He's not even a factor at the top. Don't worry about Hector Lumbar.
We're talking about most ripped. We're talking about most ripped.
Ripped and crazy.
Hector Lumbar is ripped. I thought that he was 185, but
he might be.
He fluctuates. So.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I just like Tyrone walking around at 170. I was like, God, dog, like that's a freaking. I mean, like Wonderboy is dude, but like whenever you look at them standing next to each other,
we're talking strongest, you know, per ounce. We're talking McGregor, obviously. So I don't know why we're laughing, but
just gotta bring him up. Just gotta out of nowhere, just like, and suddenly without warning, Connor. Oh my god! Yeah,
so I the Woodley fight. I see Woodley fucking not being able to do what he did last time, and then Wonderboy Thompson winning, dude. But who you guys got in the co-main event?
Well, who
the
is
fucking
who is?
Eagle?
Dude, we need to.
Khabib
yeah.
Nurmagomedov. You know how to say his name better than
that.
Nurmagomedov.
There you go.
Dude, you said that.
Dude, that's
clear.
What I'm saying. Like, I think Trevor's fucking like a quarter Russian.
He's hooked on phonics in Russian.
That shit down.
But I am not Muslim.
I want to make. I actually want to jump in on that. I am not Muslim. Whoever's listening.
anybody Muslim here?
None of us actually.
Khabib is.
Oh, Khabib.
And you never know, dude. He could. Throw up an ISIS flag once he just fucking gets the title, dude. You never know.
Is Khabib really Muslim?
He is.
Really?
He's fucking Muslim as fuck.
Wow.
You know, besides his religious...
I hope he gets his ass whipped. No,
I still love the guy.
He's going to snipe his ass actually run the that's messed up.
Don't get me wrong, dude. I still love the guy. Like, he's not, he hasn't done anything wrong, and just being Muslim isn't even a wrong thing, dude. Like, but if you're fucking... I judge a person by the content of the character, so...
Yes, sir.
So I still love fucking Khabib. And I still think he's gonna win. I got Khabib, dude, because both these guys are so elusive, and you can't even calculate what's gonna happen in this fight. So just watch closely. But I have Khabib because how are you gonna stop that guy? Like once he gets you on the ground, you can't make one mistake, dude. He's gonna take you on the ground, and he's gonna fucking.
That's totally true.
He's gonna just like sap the energy out of you. You better do something amazing. Like I think Conor McGregor.
It's a bad fight for Conor. It's
oh,
a
man.
Bad
oh,
fight for
dude,
Conor. Stylistically, I'll admit
that.
That,
fucking that is the I fight, though. As much as Conor down talks that fight, though, because like if
he should,
Conor could pop him and just totally drop him like a fucking sack of potatoes.
But that's his only out. Is Conor is popping him and dropping him like a sack of potatoes? Because if Khabib gets him on the ground once, it's like getting on. It's really like rolling with Damian Maia, dude. You're fucking in trouble. Like. Ooh. It, all it takes is
as
one time.
But I also think if you took the inverse and you threw Tony Ferguson in there with Conor McGregor, you'd have a fucking epic
that's
fight too.
Because
Tony Ferguson ain't no bitch, dude. And like he's one of those like Nick Diaz kind of dudes that are like, I'm not gonna lose this fucking fight, like
that's
mentally.
Well yeah.
But sometimes you just don't have a choice.
Sometimes a guy takes you down and humps you until you fucking tap out.
That's
so.
Why I think this fight is so intriguing because you have two guys that are like A plus, you know, A tier fighters. You know, like obviously Khabib is like an A plus because he's undefeated. But coming off of the layoff for one, not like a real layoff, but coming off the layoff, he's only fought I think Michael Johnson was his only like serious competition. I know I'm not. I'm not trying to be a Khabib hater or anything, but Johnson did kind of rock him in the first round.
Definitely did.
And then Khabib kind of like shook it off and like manhandled him like a fucking grizzly bear. Mm. So that, you know, that's almost a credit to him. But still, I don't know if
Michael
Ferguson,
Johnson's not known for power.
I don't think they're the same. Well, he's good. He's known as a striker and like a fast guy, but I don't know if he's
not
known
for
like the knockout power. But like... Ferguson is a guy that can finish in multiple ways. He's tricky. He's a cerebral type of fighter. I don't know, man. My money's on the underdog in this fight, whoever the underdog is. Like that's where I'm gonna go.
I'd imagine it's gotta be Ferguson.
It is
right?
Ferguson. That's why I just don't wanna I just know that I'm not trying to be a anti Khabib.
I call.
Let's do it. Give me the same odds as Vegas.
My call.
Fuck yeah, let's do this. Dude, I don't even like this, though, because I root for my friends. Yeah. Anyways, and I just think that Ferguson's range is going to be a factor in this, and as long as he can keep it on the standing up as long as possible, it'll be great. But even still, if it goes to the ground, he's so long and tricky on the ground that I can see... I don't know. I can see a lot of different scenarios in this one. It's going to be a really exciting fight to watch. Yeah. That's why there's so many variables and so many like different outcomes in this one, like between two high caliber fighters, and it's like, fuck. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of always the thing whenever you have A and B's. Like, whenever Aldo's go up against Connors, like, it's like these guys are going to like throw a whole bunch of like hands and feet at each other. You know what I mean?
For
but
sure.
Then whenever there's like, it's always weird whenever you have like, I mean, this fight is maybe a bad example, but the one that I just thought of is like Rumble versus DC. Mm-hmm. It's like you got someone that throws really, really, really heavy hands and someone that like wrestles Olympic level. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, like it's very funny whenever you kind of, whenever they're so opposite, you're just like, oh man, what's going to happen right here? Kind of like what we were, like Woodley's striking, aside from landing those couple shots, like, you know, Wonder Boy was kind of tuning him up. And the thing that, you know, this is not to take it back to that fight, but...
I'm happy you did, because I got a point after this.
About the other fight?
About Woodley versus Thompson.
Oh, cool. That actually makes me feel better, because cool. I did not mean to derail
the promo. No, you're good. I was going to do the same thing.
Yeah, but... So let me act as a transition for Derek, who's actually obviously messing everything up right now. But the idea that Woodley kept on backing away from Wonderboy was just crazy. I just thought, I mean, like, he gave him such ring control, even after realizing how superior his wrestling and ground game was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of insane. But anyway.
Yeah, dude, going off of that really quick, I really enjoyed how, I really liked how Woodley knew exactly how to put Wonderboy against the fence and then use those short elbows in that first round.
Yeah.
Because he, like, busted his nose up, I believe. Like, I don't know if it was on the ground or against the fence, but I definitely know that pushing Wonderboy against the fence was what started the entire thing.
Yeah.
And it was just, and Wonderboy went on to say, like, I was actually surprised on how physically strong fucking Woodley is. And it's like, really? Look at the
you
fucking
didn't look
guy.
At that guy.
You didn't look. You didn't size him up during when you fucking had the stare down during the weigh-ins. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But the point that I was gonna make, I was actually gonna correct myself. So I went ahead and did the Jamie thing and I fact checked myself. And apparently, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson's brother, who is one of his partners, is who married Chris Weidman's sister.
Ah.
So it's Stephen Wonderboy Thompson's brother. When it was down there training, ended up meeting with Chris Weidman's sister. They hit it off, got married. So my mistake, I kind of got the...
Thank God, this is real news, dude, not CNN.
That's
fucking
right.
Fake-ass news.
I'm fucking straight up fact-checking
Derek
myself,
fact-checking.
Bro. Fact-checking myself, bro.
He did his research.
My mistake. My mistake.
Did his research.
I straight up came back from the library, bro.
Bro.
Reading up on this shit.
Bro.
But
the internets.
In Khabib Nurmagomedov's defense.
There it is. My man.
I have to say that Tony Ferguson did get rocked by Lando Venata two fights ago when he fought him. He got fucking lit up, dude, by this guy who came out of
fucking
outer
nowhere.
Space. I don't even know. This guy, watch that guy. He lit up Tony Ferguson, dude. And Tony Ferguson was on Wobble Street for a second. And he did overcome that also. So we do have pretty much an equal thing where in the last fight or the last two fights, one of them got really rocked and overcame it. And then both of these guys did dominate Rafael Dos Anjos. So, like, you have a pretty much an equal... I think the odds should be pretty even. Like, when you come to...
I'm taking Tony because Tony trains with Eddie Bravo. And Eddie Bravo... knows Alec Jones, and he knows what the fuck's up. So I'm here to fight the new world with Tony
fucking
on my
Alex
side.
Jones.
I was going to say, there's not going to be any quid in this fight. Like, that's the one cool thing about it. It's like, you know that you're going to get the best out of these two guys.
Well, dude, you have fucking Ferguson training in Big Bear in that high altitude, and then, like, fucking Khabib was just born with an extra set of lungs. Like, he's just a
Khabib
wrestler.
Khabib was born... fucking wrestling bears and shit. I literally was talking about this guy earlier because I have a neck injury. And so I tell some people that I got it playing Madden, obviously, which is the truth. And then I tell other people that I got it wrestling a bear. And I got that from fucking Khabib because it's the manliest thing that I've ever heard of.
Yes. So. Straight up. The dude grew up in a war-torn country, dude, and so the options were either learn how to fight and become a fighter or fucking defend your country and go to war, and the guy just became a spectacular fighter, and then you're seeing all these guys that are in his camp, like, do great things, and they're not even, like, they're not even shining yet, like, they're not even coming out of their shell yet, and they're still dominating people based on, like, the natural God-given strength that they've got from their situation of growing up, dude. If you grow up in the fucking, like, war-torn his country and your dad's just like, look, you better get fucking tough or you're gonna die. Like, you're gonna get fucking tough.
Dude, talk about the ultimate fucking motivation. Just like, listen. Carl. Yeah, right? Like, dude, just think about the ultimate motivation. You're just going to go out there and, like, listen, either you fucking give tough today or someone's going to take your money, you're not going to eat, and that's going to continue to happen until you finally decide enough is enough. You know, so what do you do? Motherfucker took up Sambo, probably. Because from what I've heard, I was listening to Rogan's Fight Companion on the last UFC card that was on Fox. Help me out, guys. The main event was...
Derek Lewis
versus Travis Brown.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, cool. Hell yeah. So, like, we definitely talked about that in the last podcast. I don't know why I forgot. Doesn't matter. So, Ian McCall, who is a flyweight fighter, he's what, standing at like 5'4", 5'5", or so, probably walking around out of season, like, what, 155, 160?
Maybe.
Maybe, right? 155, that's fair. So, he said he met Khabib recently, and that the one thing that he took from that experience was how Khabib wasn't as big as he thought he was going to be. He actually, for some reason, he's like, dude, like, the way Khabib fights, the way he holds people down and just turns these fucking powerhouse wrestlers into essentially ragdolls, I was expecting, like, a beefy fucking dude. But he was actually kind of small in comparison. And I'm like, wait, small compared to you? Right. Like, yeah. Like, you're already not that big of a guy. So for you to have that thought, it was just kind of... Tony's a big fucking dude. He's like 5'11", 6 foot, funky ass style, does these weird elbows. Dude, that Darce choke, though. Darce choke for days, though, bro. He gets underneath your armpit, and he sits onto his left or right, you're probably going to go to sleep.
Or you're going to tap. And he's Mexican, so he already has a lot more, like, you know, like fucking...
Cardio?
Have you heard Joe Rogan's
theory? Your relatives?
It was either that or the cheese bar. I was like, I'm going to go with cardio.
Burritos? He has more tacos.
Joe Rogan names off all the top Mexican fighters, and he's like, look, all of them have insane cardio. Yeah, that's true. It's just like,
That's funny, man.
They were hard. Farm work, bro.
Stop that.
Joe, one of my favorite things that Joe says, and just about Khabib, he says this about just Russians in general because there's so many of them. But like, he's like, Russians are a different kind of white guy. It's like, it's insane. And every time I work out, like, since hearing that, like, a year and a half ago or whatever, I'm just like working out. I'm just like, I want to be a different kind of white guy. I'm just doing shrugs in the gym. Just like, I want to be a different kind of white guy.
Dude, this isn't a new thing, too. Fucking Rocky IV, man. Like, motherfucker killed Apollo, dude. Not one, not two, but like, 5 hits in the fucking face against the ropes, dude. Dead. Like, you ain't coming back from that shit. This motherfucker trains, dude. Like,
and it wasn't bare knuckle. He had fucking mittens on. He had extra large mittens.
16 ounces of padding to save him.
And he still
beat him to death.
Wasn't it a charity
event
or some shit?
Mexican.
Wasn't it a charity?
I forgot about that.
Wasn't it a fucking... It was like an exhibition or some shit. It wasn't even a fucking thing.
It's for the kids,
damn it. It was more of an execution.
It was like...
And Apollo just got socked up.
I want to
up.
Show him what I can do.
Oh my like, god.
Apollo came out dancing Arnold. And shit, singing a song.
James Brown's career just went down the shitter right after that.
Living in America.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, dude, knowing what I know now about his son, it actually makes me kind of sad.
Yeah. Dude, Creed's actually a pretty good movie.
Creed
I liked
good.
It. I liked it.
Yeah.
I really did. Movie.
Full circle.
You didn't like it?
I haven't seen it.
Stallone's killer in it, bro. It's best supporting.
He actually was pretty good. Fucking good in that movie.
Stallone's an amazing actor. Have you guys not seen The Expendables, bro?
Dude, here's the thing. Like, Stallone's been doing it for so long that I think he believes he's that character. So it's almost that
he is perfect, Rocky, bro.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like that perfect combination of he's old, been doing it for so long, kind of senile now. So when they say, yo, can you be Rocky for me? And they start filming it. he fucking really becomes his character. Like, he really believes. He wrote that character. And he wrote it, too. You know what I mean? Like, I think he really believes. Like, didn't the character get inducted to the Boxing Hall of Fame?
I don't know, but I know that Philadelphia. No, I know Philadelphia really has a statue of.
Okay, I'm gonna look this up.
I think it's down now.
Outside Town Hall.
I'm gonna look this up.
Bill Burr made fun of that so hard.
What was he saying?
God, this was in years ago when he was getting heckled in Philadelphia. He was making fun of just their city in general. He was making fun of the Phillies. He was making fun of the He was making fun of. Who's making fun of the the whole Rocky statue?
Like, oh, you guys have amazing boxers from here. Like that. The Bill Burr rant is one of my favorite things I've ever listened to. If you like,
most famous boxer is fictional.
Yeah, he's like, you guys have amazing boxers from here, and you have a fucking statue of Rocky out there. Oh my god! And he's counting down. He's counting down the minutes. To which he like when his set is done and he's just roasting them and he says it out loud. He's like, 5 fucking minutes left. Yeah. And he's like, until he's like, he's gonna like, I got 15 minutes on the stage and I'm using every one of them to fuck you guys up. Oh my god, that was insane. And by the end of it, all of Philadelphia is just like, we fucking love that guy.
Yeah. He gets us.
He legitimately like meaned, he like fucking shat on them enough to. Go all the way back around. It's like, he's all right. He's all right. This
fucking guy.
This guy.
He knows our intimate secrets.
Yeah, right. They were
We all think that too.
So, really quick, guys. In 2011, Sylvester Stallone was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame for his work on the Rocky Balboa character.
That's crazy to me.
Fucking that was not for his defense.
For his
anyone who's seen any one of those movies, dude, like, that's not how you box.
Oh, man.
You don't just take as many shots and you answer with one really good one, and they comment on... His face feels like iron, but goddamn, he hits so hard. Like, that's just not a good strategy, dude. It's just really not a good strategy.
Mick, every corner advice is the exact same. It's like, come on, Rocky. Put your hands down. Catch it with your face. Put it back at him. It's just like, oh, man. Lower your gloves. Get them real low. Man, real by your hips.
real quick, before, I know it's going to be a complete segue here. Not a complete, but all I've heard is about, epic movies and everything, I've heard the name Bill a bunch of times, so I'd be remiss if I didn't give a little shout out to the recently departed Bill Paxton.
Oh my goodness! Good on you, sir.
Yeah, dude, that guy was a fucking great actor. Been in a bunch of stuff. Tombstone. Tombstone.
True Lies.
Aliens. He was in Predator.
Weird Science, bro.
Twister, dude. The guy was, oh my god, he was down Bob's Road.
Bill Paxton actually got caught up in a fucking F6, dude. It wasn't even a fucking scale for an F6, and then he finally got caught up in that shit, and it was just too much,
man.
Took
him away.
I actually heard he got hustled in a mean game of pool.
That's probably it. Cool, was that from a movie?
I actually heard he got jacked for all of his clothes by this huge guy named Arnold.
Dude, did you guys actually know what it was? It was some sort of like surgery complications,
right?
That was my next question. Like, do you guys know what it was?
Because it was something stupid, like he was getting a dick extension.
I don't know for sure, but like someone was saying that they thought that he might have gotten into like some kind of like drug stuff, so maybe he was like doing surgery to like fix maybe nasal passages stuff. But I can't. This is all stuff that I had heard hearsay. This is probably not true. I don't know.
That's the fucking crazy part, man.
I don't believe that it was anything like allegedly. Like a dick extension. I don't believe it was that.
Yeah.
I don't believe it was.
Dude, you know what?
My first thought.
Probably.
You never know.
Maybe you called Obama.
I'm super happy with mine.
Like, you know what happens when they say call the doctor after 4 hours of an erection? You know what I mean? It could have been one of those.
Yeah.
If you take some.
It was 8.
You better call it 4 hours, bro. It's actually. You better call.
Well, I know if you call Michelle Obama a tranny and Obama a fag, then you end up dying in your surgery too. Like Joan Rivers, she ended up croaking right after that.
Oh that woman was.
That is true. Though. She died right after she called Obama.
She's probably an organ donor too. There's like, let her go.
You guys
yeah, right. That? You know what? Somebody really much more important Joe needs Rivers. His heart.
I'm just kidding. I do. I'm just fucking. I'm like, there's no one remembers this. She was a chick on E! News that was judging everybody.
I should change that.
Fuck me. Yeah, dude. She had a plastic face.
I
actually want
to change mine.
I want it. It's scary as fuck.
But she told it. She told it like it was, dude, because I really do think that Obama is gay and Michelle Obama has a donger bigger than my fucking arm.
Dude, and if that's really the case, if that's really the case, man.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, if that's really the case, I'm just jealous. I'm like, how the fuck? Wow.
Wow, I am like, not that's, jealous. That's,
she's got a hog, dude.
I'm not jealous. I had a fucking hog.
She could have a bigger dick. I'm not jealous of that, but I'm just saying, like, she's still married to a dude, so it's like, you're not winning overall.
Hey, dude, he drew aces, man.
Oh, God. He's like,
when you think about it.
If your wife had a bigger dong than you, is that considered drawing
that's
aces?
That's not drawing aces. Boy, that's 2-7, bro.
Dude, hey, if you like dick, yeah.
If he likes getting keistered, yeah.
That's true. Actually, you know what? For his, for actually, for okay. Rack, perspective. Yeah, perspective aces. Oh,
he did
you.
Say Obama was gay.
Yeah.
So the dick would work out
for
perfect.
For when he looks at the cards, it absolutely looks like aces to him.
Oh, fucking
Michael,
aces, bro.
He found Michael Obama.
So that thing's bigger than Trevor Barnes in fucking Chatsworth, California's arm, bro.
That's a right. Huge dog.
She really donger. Touched his heart.
with her dong.
Awesome. All right, speaking about not heart... Alistair Overeem is fighting Mark
Boom.
Hunt.
Boom.
And
I got Mark Hunt in the first.
Is Mark, gotta, wait, so that's this Saturday
yeah.
as well?
Yeah.
What?
That's Mark Hunt? Third. Mark Hunt? I thought he was, like, not fighting in the UFC.
No, he is, apparently.
Because they were, like, because all that Brock stuff went down, I thought that whenever Brock Lesnar and he fought,
well,
like,
no,
he was so
he wanted,
upset with the weight.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he still wanted, I think he still wants fights. And
he had a bunch of stipulations, too. Off. He said that he would only take the fight if, like, the dude... I don't know. He wants to test it right and not nobody on steroids and all that shit.
I am calling right now. You guys heard it here first that Overeem is a fucking bitch and that Mark Hunt is going to knock that motherfucker out in the first round.
Oh, I hope so, man. I love Mark Hunt.
He's going to walk off, dude. He's going to do another walk off.
I listened to Wim Hof this last time, and Wim Hof said that he's pretty sure Overeem gave up on his techniques, and that's why he got knocked the fuck out. So
Wim
if he
Hof
gets back, yeah, if he gets back to those techniques, brother. He's going to knock Mark Hunt the
who did
fuck
he get
out.
Alistair Overeem
studied
with Wim Hof?
Did he beat Mark Hunt before? Alistair Overeem?
Yeah,
I'm about to fact
second.
Check that right now, bro. I'm on it.
Billy,
when Overeem beat JDS, he was training with Wim Hof.
Oh, wow.
So, like, Wim Hof had him, like, in a pool that was, like, around 30 degrees or some shit like that.
Sure.
And he just had him there, and he was just talking to him, and he was just like... Block the cold out. Breathe. Focus on breathing. Like, there is no pain. And
yeah.
Alistair Overeem just in a fucking pool. In the fucking, I don't know.
Wim
Hof
will teach
were.
You
but
how to be a fucking
everywhere.
Man, dude.
You
like,
guys ever taken many ice baths?
I've only done it a few times. Didn't really like it.
I always ice bath my dick.
It's from all the jacking, you know what I'm saying?
I rarely take ibuprofen.
I try to make it look small.
Dude, that shit's way too cold.
I took a cold shower yesterday for like 3 minutes and I was like, fuck this.
Dude,
I end every shower with at least a couple minutes of all cold water.
I don't believe you because when I go in there after you take a shower, it's just fucking steam.
Yeah, it's steam
everywhere.
Because it was just hot as fuck. Because
you were taking a 20 minute hot shower.
Derek, don't fucking involve my jacking off sessions.
That's exactly what I'm trying to point out.
How many beers do we need?
These guys are doing a mime.
We're
so
we've been miming for 40
they've
seconds.
They've been sending up smoke signals trying to get you to bring them a beer. Good lord.
Okay, dude, really quick.
The audience will not have seen that, but that was hilarious. I got three of our people.
I was like, I just see hands, but I don't know how. Give me a count.
Oh, man, give me a number.
I need numbers, not fucking. I'm not playing charades, motherfuckers.
No more?
I'm kind of impressed, man. Like,
holy shitballs, that's funny.
Mark Hunt, for being as fucking badass as he is, he's got a kind of a crazy record. He has 12 wins, 9 by knockout, 3 by decision. He's got one draw, one no contest, and he has 10 losses.
Damn, he's barely breaking.
Yeah.
Are you counting the Lesnar one as a loss in that?
Yeah. Unfortunately. No, actually, that was overturned as one of the no contest because he tested positive for steroids.
Just sit out.
He has 4 losses by knockout and 6 losses by submission. And Alistair Overeem was one of the guys that beat him by an Americana, according to this.
Oh, wow.
On July 21st, 2008. So that was, you can't really hold that against him. That was, 7 years ago? No, yeah, more than that.
That's what he
that was 9 years ago. Thank you. That was 9 years ago.
2008, then 9 years ago. Yeah.
9 years ago in Japan.
Also, if it's in Japan, then that's Uberine, baby.
That's Uberine, dude. Taking those fucking Mexican supplements,
dude,
bro.
Dude. Mark Hunt has been getting his poor fucking and I'm 5'9", so I'm just like, oh, go. Like, anytime that there's that's the same thing with Mike Tyson. It's like, whenever you got a heavyweight that's a shorter dude, Mike Tyson, 5'10".
Yeah.
I'm just like, do it! And Mark Hunt, weighing in at 270 pounds, being 5'9", just knocking the blocks off of people. That dude's only recourse for losing seems I obviously don't know all who he lost to. That record is highly that sucks.
12-2, man. 12-10 is what I'm trying to say.
12
wins, 10 12, losses.
1-1-10.
But
12-10 with 1-1. What are you doing?
Fighting.
Really?
Fighting.
What the fuck are you doing?
There's more numbers than just 12-10. You said a bunch of other stuff.
Fighting is
1-1-10.
Fighting is there such a pure fucking
clear.
Judgmental thing, dude. In baseball, you can hit the ball 30% of the time and be a badass, dude. In fighting, you get fucking choked out, knocked out 50% of the time and you're a piece of shit. You lose 2 fights and you're fucking out of the UFC.
Except for Mark Hunt.
MMA is a completely different game than you.
It is, dude, and it's it's crazy. And the way people think about you, Ronda Rousey, dude, she lost a couple fights, and right now she's dog shit. And that's just the way, that's the public perception. I'm not saying that I think she's dog shit. I'm just saying,
I think she's got a dog shit coach.
Dude, Tavarians is the fucking recipe for losing. Don't go there. I wouldn't recommend that shit.
I honestly don't think that the public's perception of Ronda would be bad if they felt like. I don't think
if
that
she
her heart is in. Well, no. I just don't think that her heart is. She's not showing that
she's
I thought she was in the best shape of her life coming into that last fight, and
She fucking looked it, man.
She looked the part.
You know one thing
I'm not saying that she can take, but I'm just saying that she put herself in the best position possible for her. She was at her maximum potential for her.
These are two different things. You can be the fittest that you've ever been and not be the most fight ready that you've ever been.
Her
head movement was so lackluster.
She's always had shit head
movement.
That's
a super great
always
point.
Always had shit kickboxing.
Yeah.
And she's at a school that is known for supposedly boxing and kickboxing.
One thing I noticed, though.
So they need to do fucking something.
One honest perception of what I've seen of her, though, is that she's had her training partners sign agreements where they won't tell the outcome of.
And I met one of them in downtown Glendale. I was crossing the light and there was Raquel Pennington just waiting to fucking I was like yo, Raquel Pennington, you're a badass, thank you so much for fucking all the great fights. Shook her hand, gave her respect, and that was it. Sorry, let me cut you off.
Yeah, her training partners have to sign user agreements basically saying that they won't tell the outcome of the training. So if someone does happen to fucking catch her with an uppercut and drop her, that you can't say shit or you'll get legally sued. So, and I've also seen Mayweather reach his hand out and say hey, I'll train you how to box and stuff like that. And Layla Ali and all these boxing girls that are greats dislike her because she's so arrogant that she is too proud to train with these great people because she doesn't want to get shown up and because she's on such a high horse. If you're on top, you don't want to get knocked out by these people. But really, dude, if you want to keep up with the game, you got to keep your well-roundedness. And you're going to have bitches come in there that know how to box and shit. So I think that was a tactile mistake by turning these people down and just instead of training with these people, hiding it and making people shut the fuck up about how the training goes. I think you should embrace anything that you're given. You should take every opportunity. She should have took the Mayweather opportunity and boxed with him. She should have boxed with Leila Ali.
Dude, she would have socked the fuck up.
No, training. Like, he offered to train with her.
Oh.
Train her how to box.
I thought you were talking about them fighting. I was like, what?
There was, Derek's not wrong. They were talking about, like, because there was that talk. I didn't know that he had offered, like, In a nice way to
Oh, Mayweather would get his ass whooped against Ronda Rousey in an MMA fight or just a street fight? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd get his ass beat.
Rousey would beat his ass. I agree. You get him on the ground.
I want to say, as the person, from the person I am, I would love to say that is true. But it's one dimension.
He's a one dimensional fighter. He's all he's doing.
Yeah,
is
but he's that so girl that great at that one dimension.
No, he's not. He's so good. He's good at running, dude. She's gonna get him on the ground in one. So that is true.
There's no knock her out.
He needs somebody to take her out of the clinch. What happens when she gets him into the clinch? And there's nobody to fucking separate him.
How do you get him in the clinch?
You mean to tell me that you think she's going to be able to dirty box Ronda Rousey as opposed to getting hip tossed?
I think he has a better chance of keeping her away with a jab and a 1-2,
yeah,
as opposed to the chance that she has inside the clinch after fucking taking him down.
Okay, well, Rousey's a bad example on that because her chain is suspect right now.
I was just going
to
say that.
I think if she can't get Nunez to the ground, then she's going to get the fucking fire locked out of her.
Nunez would be her ass.
Cyborg. Green tea, all right there.
Cyborg versus fucking Mayweather tomorrow. In a street fight.
I got Cyborg.
What about Joanna? Joanna Jojacek.
Nah, she's just too light. Yeah.
No, it's perfect because she'll stay away. She'll run just the same. He won't be able to touch her the same way.
Yeah, but her, she's a grown man. She's not a
Mayweather. I don't consider Mayweather a grown man in the slightest.
Dude, he fucking fights.
I do.
He fights other men.
Fuck him, dude. He's a runner. He's a runner, dude. I consider that guy like a track star. Like, I don't consider him a fighter. Like, he's a guy that does pretty good laps on the treadmill.
He's a guy that can put combinations together where you and I would get off balance.
My favorite thing about him is
really impressive.
He does exactly what the smartest thing in the world is: don't get hit. Hit the other person.
That's the game of boxing. If I beat you
in chess in five moves versus like having a badass drawn out fucking game, yeah, like that fucking sucks and everything, but I still won. Like,
yeah,
that's the fucking game of boxing.
I think people underestimate Floyd too.
For sure. I think one of those people, I'm gonna say it, you all know where I'm going. I think one of the people that is underestimating Floyd Mayweather is Conor McGregor. I do. Yeah. I think Conor's going to do very well.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know Conor knows he's going
to lose. I'm
going
to go to the bathroom on this one so I don't hear all this negative stuff.
Conor knows he's going to lose. He's trying to get paid.
Mike Gilman can't hold his bladder.
Anybody that wants to bet that as long as it's not a typical boxing match, like as long as it's
you're so confident, give me odds.
Wait. Before that you guys are throwing out odds, let's talk about Vegas odds. Vegas has got Conor at -25,000. Oh, wait, plus. No, wait. Mayweather is -2,500, I believe. So you have to bet $2,500 to win $100. So he's 25 times the favorite over Conor McGregor.
So every one of us should put down $100 on Conor for the snowball's chance.
He found his left hand.
One should be at -2,500. Like -900, you have to be a 95% chance to even be a profitable bet. So -2,500, I don't even know. You're probably high 99%. To make any kind of money, and I don't think anybody's a 99% chance over Conor McGregor with his fucking left hand. When he like catches you, you could go down just like anybody else in the world. But I just don't think it's a good bet to bet on like any of those things. But also in the midst of the whole Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather talk was George St. Pierre coming back and Conor McGregor possibly fighting George St. Pierre.
Yeah, that would be great, but George is going to fuck. Although, I don't think George can make 170.
George is
going to
fuck what?
George is going to fucking destroy him.
Nope.
George St. Pierre.
Finish that thought, bro.
Absolutely destroy Conor McGregor.
McGregor's going to beat everybody and anybody.
I think Conor McGregor versus Mark Hunt, with a touch of death in that left hand.
I really think Aldo hasn't lost in 12 years, so 11 years.
Edson Barboza is a bad matchup.
He's pound for pound best in the world until McGregor. Just saying.
You can lock those in now.
What were you saying, Darren?
Nate Diaz choked him out.
Yeah, I mean, like,
when he went up 20 pounds.
And they had a rematch, Connor couldn't really. He did a really good job in the second fight. But all I'm saying is, like,
what's GSP?
He fights at 170.
Yeah, GSP's 170. Do any of us in the room really think Conor McGregor is going to do all right against the technically Here's greatest the of all time, Walter Wade?
Here's the thing, though.
So that's the thing, is that he's not even... He doesn't walk around at 170.
He's like 100... He's probably 200 pounds right now. Here's the thing, though, brother. Like a fucking monster. Here's the thing.
Yeah, no, I definitely get it.
I don't think
but
he
like,
can make 170.
One of the pound-for-pound best.
I don't think GSP... Okay, so the talks isn't... Okay, so GSP and Conor fighting... It's not at 170. It's actually at 155. Because George is like, I could.
Fuck?
That's what I'm saying. So do I
George
think
will die.
Do I think Conor McGregor could beat George St. Pierre when he's
just
completely dehydrated and fucking down to like the brink of death? Yeah, he could probably beat the fuck out of him. He could probably beat the fuck out of him.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like they're fighting. If they were to fight at 170, this would be a completely different conversation.
They should do a catch weight.
I don't think Conor should ever fight at 170 or one. You know what I mean?
He should never fight any of the top five guys at 170.
Well, because
he runs the risk of like
it,
getting knocked the fuck out.
Exactly.
Hard.
But if you're not going to do it at an elite level, then what's the point?
Dude, Nate Diaz caught him with the 1-2, and you all saw it. You saw Conor was
like,
dude. The crazy part about this fight.
Imagine like a fucking Woodley landing a head kick or a Robbie Lawler landing a fucking. Come on, guys.
The crazy part about this hypothetical fight.
Woodley as well. Woodley's going to land a shot.
I think Woodley's overhand is one of the scariest things on the fucking.
The crazy part about the hypothetical George St. Pierre Conor McGregor fight is George St. Pierre, right before he left, ended up getting tuned up pretty much by Johnny Hendricks, and it was almost a loss. You might say that he almost lost that fight. His face was fucked up. But George St. Pierre is not your average person, dude. He's not the kind of guy that'll go like sit on his couch and wait for the next fight to happen, dude. Like, he's the kind of guy that's on Mount Vesuvius training with ninjas, dude. So like, he's not your I'm telling you, dude, he's not your average dude, and he like weighs in so heavy. He's going to be like the fucking, the most solid 155er in the world. But I don't know if his face at this age can take these kind of fucking snapping blows, dude. Like, I really don't, because I honestly think Conor McGregor might throw a fucking, like, that left might hurt more than fucking Johnny Hendricks overhanded. Like, even though Johnny Hendricks will KO you fucking damn cold, Conor McGregor has a really straight snapping punch, dude. And
he's fast with it.
It doesn't matter if it knocks you out in one punch. It matters the final result, dude. And I see a lot of people just not being able to shake that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
Especially when he's that accurate.
Yeah. We're
this is completely
I've said it before and I say it again. Conor McGregor's knockout percentage per fight is one of the highest in the history of the fighting game. So.
And I, not to go off a topic, but you mentioned Mount Vesuvius, and then this just reminded me of the time that we went to Boneyard Bistro to try to catch Pliny the Younger, and Pliny the Elder was this fucking Greek historian guy, historian, scholar, all this
Say
other
that
bullshit.
Slower. What's the name?
Mount Vesuvius?
No,
the Elder.
Pliny the Elder. Pliny the Elder. His real name.
P-L-I-N-Y.
Yes, Pliny.
Okay.
Pliny the Elder.
Besides us.
Anyway, so Pliny the Elder, this guy actually died during the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, and his nephew, aka his adopted son, Pliny the Younger, was the guy that witnessed this whole ordeal, and he was the one that went on to write about him and was like, "Yeah, this guy was a fucking badass. This isn't that." And also, he died during the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. So I don't know.
And here's some of his beer recipes.
Do you know?
Right?
Do you know what?
they made beer.
You know what's super weird is the that guy's. It's the pronunciation of it. Well, like if you were to go by like Greek pronunciation of words, would be Pliny.
Pliny.
So like, there's like a lot of like
Pliny the
beer nerds. This is a beer nerd section of this podcast.
There you go.
When Russian River first started making that beer, they started calling it Pliny the Elder, and then they found out, you know, relatively recently, you know, because Pliny's been around for a long time, that the pronunciation
2007 or 6 or
something like that.
Yeah,
and you know, it's consistently like on top beers in the world kind of lists and all that noise, like top 10 every year. But then they found out the pronunciation should probably be Pliny. And so now there are like hyper, like on both sides of the coin, people will come into the bar that I work at and be like, oh, you have any Pliny on? And it's like one of those things whenever you hear a word hundreds of times and you can't hear it a different way. Mm-hmm. And like, so I've said Pliny for the last 3 years of working.
I mean, that's
how
I say, Pliny.
And it's just like Pliny.
Pliny the Elder. I'm looking at YouTube, fucking assholes.
Oh man. It's one of those weird things where like the pronunciation of the name itself, what like the guy's name was Pliny, but that beer is now, to me, like forever, it's just Pliny. Like it's created like a super nerdy little controversy.
That is crazy.
In a nonsense fashion. Yeah, talk about funny. Nonsense arguments.
You're just rude to all the customers. Pliny, bitch.
This is Josh talking about Pliny of the Elder and Pliny of the Younger.
This dude's gonna pay for your
Josh,
shit.
Josh, please tell them the reaction to this beer. Like, and you guys just Instagrammed it out, right? Yeah. That you were gonna have this. Like, tell the reaction on how fast this beer left.
So Pliny the Elder is a double IPA that Russian River in Northern California makes all year round. Really popular double IPA.
In 2007, then, they took every gold medal out there, and I think they got one bronze, and that was like in some like beer festival shit or something like that. It's fucking stupid. These guys are fucking great.
And so Pliny the Elder, really popular beer. And then once every year in February, we're getting out of this month right now, they make a beer, a triple IPA called Pliny the Younger. And, you know, whenever Elder first came out, it was the only double IPA around. Whenever Younger came out, it was the only triple IPA around. They have done this beautiful marketing thing where they've not created an excess amount of this thing. And so now everyone, like beer nerds, just rejoice every time they see it. Like, and they eat it up like mosquitoes to fucking, you know, blood. It's nonsense. We tapped this Pliny the Younger beer, the once a year release beer. We tapped a 15.5-gallon keg, and within an hour and 40 minutes, it had been divvied out in 12-ounce glasses like that. And it's like that, and last year I think it was like 2 hours, the year before that it was 3. It's like the thing, it's just getting crazier and crazier from just like what Trevor said, one Instagram tweet out like, hey, we tapped Pliny the Younger, and it's like droves of people come out of the woodwork. Oh my god, this is nuts.
Oh dude, when
we'll catch it next time, dude.
It was the second year in a row I went to go try it and I missed it.
Second year
in a row, I missed it.
And this time, I felt like we had a really good shot too, because we got out of there as quickly as possible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I was telling these guys a story. Like, we show up, and then I think it was Randy. I'm pretty sure it was Randy. He was like, "Oh, we're all out. I'm sorry." Like, it kicked in fucking an hour and a half. We're like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like. So we were late by like almost 2 hours. You know, like we had no chance. Yeah. There was no chance at all. Dang. That's crazy. I don't know.
I don't think you could give drugs away in the street for free that fast.
I mean, to be fair, that's some sketchy shit that you're talking about right there.
Yeah, no,
free
yeah.
drugs?
No one's ever tried to give me free drugs. Dare's fucking full of shit.
I gotta say it, man.
You have to have a vagina for that.
You can pull off any fucking voice, bro, and you're still fucking sexy, bro. I don't give a fuck what anybody says, man. You fucking pull it off, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Something,
God
you
damn
know,
it, you look good.
That I was kind of wanting to bring up, you know, as we end the beer nerd section of the thing. I was kind of, like, whenever we were talking about Rhonda a little bit, this is something that I've been thinking about a little bit as we're getting, you know, we got to try and wrap this up. I think something that I've been training jiu-jitsu, introduced to it by Derek, you know, several years ago now, like 3 to 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And sporadically training, and then I signed up for a gym last year and was training at this gym pretty consistently.
Got
and
the
then,
bug.
Yeah. But I tell you what, it's a weird thing making yourself do something that you're not very good at. And I think, you know, like I'm relating this to Rhonda because it's like, she's very good at certain things, and it seems like she doesn't force herself to do the things that she's not great at.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you guys, you know, like, for me, it's like, you know, like, there's jiu-jitsu, and there's several other things, where I'm not I'm not great at these things, and it stares me at stares me in the eye often, and I, you know, like kind of have to reconcile and force myself to do it. Do you guys find yourselves doing anything that you're not very good at?
Never.
Like often.
Yeah, man. I
purposely
do.
Avoid those things.
Yeah, the Ronda Rousey approach. I armbar the things I'm good at, and I...
Yes. Yeah, I'm a Rousey.
She hasn't taken her losses well so far. Like, the first loss, she let
Nor do I.
Way too hard. You know, like, we're talking about Mark Hunt earlier. He's got 10 losses, but he's kind of like one of those guys that's been bouncing around 10 to 6, and they've... done a bunch of fights. Like, how many losses does Nate Diaz have? You know, it doesn't mean he's a bad fighter. Like,
that's very true.
Those guys can take their losses and still.
But they put exciting fights, and they're gonna draw numbers. And Ronda Rousey is gonna draw fucking numbers.
Well, yeah, but now she's lost. She may not come back. Like, she's not used to losing. You know,
it's true. Especially not two in a row. Like, two in a fucking row, dude. Are you kidding me right now? You know, it's just crazy. It's just really, really crazy. I don't know. No, no, it's insane.
I think you learn a lot from your losses. A lot more from your losses.
I knocked Ronda out today.
Dudes.
Today.
See, people diss Philly, but it's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep getting back up.
That's
dude,
a fact.
And everybody lives by that shit, dude. And then everybody disses Philly on their boxing
Rocky,
shit.
Rocky! 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 Rocky!
Oh, God. Okay, listeners, if you didn't know or at least figure out, we've been drinking throughout this entire podcast. We've already gone through two bottles of wine.
We're going to extend
more than several bottles of beer. A lot of... herbal medication going
this
around.
It's
going to
be
by that,
two
I mean,
more
incense.
Years.
Ginkgo biloba.
We're going another 2 hours, bro.
2 hours. That's what it meant. Definitely not.
Did you, wait.
Halftime.
Oh, shit. I was trying to get some legit answers out of you guys about that question I asked.
Wait, what did you ask?
I was asking, I was relating back to the Ronda thing about how... If you ever find yourself doing things... Forcing yourself to do things that you're not well practiced or great at.
Dude, I force myself to jack off with the left hand every time. I'm like, you're gonna get good at this. I swear to God.
Oh man.
No, that's just called using a stranger.
No.
Try running
different.
Up a hill
you
with
need
Derek
a numb
Ramsey.
Hand for a stranger.
Well, no, I thought that was implied.
I can't really think of any of these. Specific as far as like what I've been working on, but the first thing that came to mind is like archery. I feel like I'm decent at it, but I can definitely be a lot better, and I've been finding myself as of late not devoting as much time to it. Maybe because I'm discouraged, or maybe because I don't feel like I've caught my flow yet. I don't know, but that's like the only thing that like really came to mind where I was like, I'm kind of like the last few times that I actually brought out the target and decided to put 25 arrows down range and like really try to like hone in on that accuracy. The last couple times I kind of forced myself to.
Have you talked to your audience about your archery practice?
No, that's actually the first time I've even brought it up.
So, because Derek has, because of
my boy here, Trevor Barnes.
I bought him some tights.
Bought me some tights.
Feather cap.
He fucking bought the perfect size. Two
shit.
Christmases ago,
it'll make it
my boy Trevor Barnes, I thought it'd be a great gift, and it was, and it still is, and it's amazing. And because of it, I feel like I've like picked up a different hobby. But aside from that, he went out and got me a Sage Samick, a recurve bow. And it's actually the kind that you can take down and restring it, and you can put it in a small case and pretty much hide it from anyone because there's no metal. Hello. Except for the actual screws. I didn't think of that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm gonna edit that last part out. Not true. So anyways, because of that, I picked up archery. I picked up instinctual bowing. So like there is no crosshairs. There is no way to really gauge your shot as far as aiming goes. You pretty much just use the entire ridge of the arrow, and you fill your shot out. It's a 62-pound bow, so when you pull it out, you're filling 62 pounds. So the baseline on that as far as the time frame that you have before your muscles really start to feel fatigue and it starts to compromise your shot is around 7 seconds. So you have 7 seconds from the time that you draw all the way back to where you're at your comfort zone. You have about 7 seconds to really pick your shot, let the arrow go in a way that you don't throw off your shot before your muscles start to feel fatigued and you start to like lose your accuracy. If you aim 2 centimeters to the left or right, you're going to miss the target by about 6 or 7 inches. So it just kind of depends, or you're going to miss the entire thing, which I've done before. I've actually put an arrow through my garage door because of that very thing. I was trying to time out my shot. I can actually hold the arrow back for about 5 seconds before my accuracy becomes compromised. So, oops. So anyways, instinctual bowing, a lot of fun. That's the only thing that I can really think of.
You don't feel that you're great at it.
I don't feel like I'm great at it. I'm definitely not, but I've been making myself do it. And especially like the last few times, I actually had a moment where I said, today I'm going to set aside however long it takes me to get 25 arrows down. Sure. Like just 25 is my number. And the reason why I made that my number is because it sounded much more appealing than an hour. I was like, I'm not going to do an hour because it's not going to take me an hour to let off 25 arrows. Sure, right. But I'm going to do 25 arrows because that's a very reasonable number.
Sure.
You know, that's a definitely quarter of 100. So, hello.
I'm not 100% on this one, but I'm not sure if it's one that my ego is not allowing me to do things that I'm not good at, or two, if I'm just good at everything.
That's a Gilman response to any question.
I have yet to find something that I am not just great at.
Just searching high and low.
I try. And apparently that's what I'm not good at, is finding something that I'm not good at.
Dude, we found it.
That was the diamond in the rough.
It was admitting yes. Not being shitty at certain things.
Apparently I cannot find my Achilles heel.
Yeah. His dick sucking skills are even on point.
I know I'm pretty good at pops
monster.
Hey, I've never had a complaint from a popsicle. That's awesome.
That's very true. Do you guys have anything that you feel like?
Yeah, please segue.
You're not good at, but you know,
I've been
still
working on the Muay Thai, like.
Okay.
Where did you lose your voice from? Can we please address this?
You should probably get a little bit closer. Really quick.
Not sucking dick.
No offense. I'm just.
I was doing drugs.
That's fair.
Oh.
That's a story.
Well, fuck that. Enough said. Anybody has a problem with that, they can talk to Pat.
But the Muay Thai, definitely this year, this last 6 months, getting involved in that, a little jiu-jitsu.
Hell yeah.
A lot of fun, hanging out with you guys more. Getting into selling on Amazon a little bit. Trying to start a business a little bit like these guys. My inspiration.
Heck
yeah. Coaching me through stuff.
Just
so
my inspiration.
It's nice. That's having cool. Having fun with friends and learning stuff. Just opening my mind. Just reading a lot of books. Just, you know.
Nice, man. You've recently, Matt, you, like, within the last, I want to say a year, but it might be two, is whenever you've, within the last 2 years, I feel like is whenever you got started getting into like the more electronic kind of dance stuff and like kind of gotten into that whole realm of world, right?
The music is really cool.
Like festival kind of.
Yeah, the festival stuff is really cool. I mean, we only went to one festival last year though, you know, and it was a blast. It was amazing. It's just nice to be reminded that people like actually give a shit about each other.
Yeah.
Like strangers.
Hey, yo, buddy. Amen to that.
Yeah, sure. That was really refreshing for me and really kind of changed my perspective in a lot of ways to realize that there's not only a very few different ways to live. You know, we can live in a variety of ways, any millions of combinations, and that just opens up the doors to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it. There's no stopping us.
Yeah, leave the doors open, you know?
Yeah.
I love my friends.
Exactly.
That's super cool. I mean, yeah. I feel like you've always, you know, been an open person, but within, like, I mean, I'm not saying it's because of the music, but just as you, as a young man, have, like, you know, like, discovered new things that you're into and stuff like that, and, like, you know, gotten in, allowed yourself to be intrigued and go off on a new path, like, is, like, within, I feel like, this is a doctrine that you've had for the last, like, maybe year and a half, and it's, like, super cool, and, like, you know, just like what you said, like, the things that you say are very, it's very beautiful, and, like, I think that it's really cool that is, like, maybe even kind of with the answer to my question as well as martial arts, but like getting like allowing yourself to be taken on those journeys and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Well, like through festivals and through like other experiences that you've had and stuff.
It's incredible, really. I didn't realize that you could live life like this. I didn't know. Yeah. It sounds so silly, but really, like, my big goal now is just to like inspire other people. Like, there have been people along the way that have inspired me to open my mind and experience new things, and I love those people so dearly. A lot of them are sitting in this room right now. But really, like, I want to be one of those people for someone else. It's really important to me.
For sure. Definitely.
So I think, and if everyone had a little bit more of that, who knows?
This world would be a lot better.
You are that something else for me, just so you know.
I love you guys.
It's a good moment to say I love you too, bro. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's a wonderful note. Unless anyone else wants to add anything?
I could talk to you guys forever about stuff like this. That might not be the best person to ask.
We could always do round two.
I mean,
you guys aren't down. Cut it into an hour.
Oh, actually, that's a good idea. Just spot that. All right, so this is Mike G here signing off. Derek Grant.
Let's just do another 10 minutes. You guys okay with that?
Yeah,
I want to do another hour.
Now, how about we take a break and we do another fucking podcast, right, guys?
I think we should do it, bro.
We haven't even covered the Alex Jones podcast, The Alex Jones podcast is so many fucking things we haven't even talked about. I feel like your goddamn best friend from high school. We used to play kickball. You just came over from goddamn some other state, and
we just started, dude.
We had one beer, and we're cutting it off right now.
We're not gonna respond to the public demand of just being an hour constraint because we've got gold here.
And yeah,
not,
fuck you.
We got a Cuban cigar that's thicker than my dick. Let's go smoke this.
When you capture the unicorn, you fucking hold on to that bitch.
Not literally, though.
Okay, we're gonna do part two of this podcast.
Rocky!
We got round two, Rock!
All right, we're going to do part two. Listeners, we're signing out for about at least 20 minutes.
At least 20-minute break, minutes. Come on, we're not slaves.
You guys can't tell time. We're just going to make another fucking podcast.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Please stay tuned.
I have no perspective on when this actually gets recorded.
No idea. When
part two of episode 18, a.k.a. episode 19, will be... uploaded fucking the next day. So really quick, Derek Lee Ramsey signing out here, but just for another 20 minutes. I'll see you guys very soon.
We're not exactly signing out. We're just taking a pulse.
Maybe. Ooh. Wait, are we going to do this or not?
Next podcast is titled The Nasty, dude. We're going to be nasty.
We're about to get real kind of real nasty.
Real fucking nasty.
What are we going to talk about? We'll talk about that after. We'll talk about it after.
All right, bye.
All right, later. Yeah, Mike G signing out. Josh Davis.
Josh Davis signing out.
William Blevins.
Trevor Barnes.
Matt's coming back down.
Later. See you, bit.
All right. See you in about 20 to 25 minutes.
They can't tell that anyway.